This is Carol Ventura, Executive Director of Rhode Island Housing. This is the June 10th, 2024 meeting of the Rhode Island Housing Board of Commissioners Management Committee. This meeting is also being provided telephonically for additional access by the public. CJ Rotella, the Director of Information Technology for Rhode Island Housing, will provide information on this in-person and telephonic meeting.
Good afternoon. This is CJ Rotella. This meeting will be recorded and available for your review on Rhode Island Housing's website within 3 to 5 business days after the meeting. Except for specific Rhode Island Housing staff, all callers will be muted during the meeting. To prevent any background noise or feedback, please mute your telephone if you are not speaking. If during the meeting anyone is having technical difficulties with the audio or accessing the call, they should call 401-457-1240. Thank you.
Good afternoon. This is Kelly Kenyon-Lavalley, Deputy General Counsel. All members of the Management Committee are appearing in person this afternoon in keeping with the Rhode Island Open Meetings Act. Members of the public may also access the meeting via teleconference or attend in person according to their preference. If the teleconference is interrupted, we will stop the meeting until audio is restored. Chairman Pryor will preside this afternoon and will be voting by voice vote. Meeting participants, please state your name prior to speaking each and every time. Telephone participants, please mute your lines if you are not speaking. Now, I will turn it over to Chairman Pryor to call the meeting to order.
This is Stefan. Call the meeting to order. 7 p.m. And I'm going to ask Carol to conduct the roll call.
Yes. Commissioner Designee Craig.
Here.
Commissioner Designee Westine.
Here.
Commissioner Pryor.
Here.
Chairman.
I'm going to introduce committee action number one, which is just the approval of the minutes. Would my two fellow commissioners just take a look, see if you have any questions or edits? And if in the end you don't, I'll be ready for our motion. So is there a second?
Second.
This is Kelly Kenyon-Lavalley. Commissioners, all those in favor of approving the minutes of the Management Committee meeting held on May 6, 2024, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say nay. For the record, the motion is approved by a unanimous vote.
One abstain.
Oh, you abstain? Okay. For the record, we had one abstention and two affirmative votes.
Okay.
Can we note for the record that Commissioner Designee Cabral has joined the meeting? Thank you.
Item two, recommendation for the approval of PHA annual plan, and I'm going to have Katie to present.
Katie Michaud, Assistant Director of Leased Housing, Rhode Island Housing and Mortgage Finance Corporation acts as a public housing authority, administers the Section 8 tenant-based rental assistance provided by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development through our Housing Choice Voucher Program. Under Title 5 of the Quality Housing and Work Responsibility Act of 1998, RI Housing must adopt a streamlined annual plan for this program that establishes the goals and objectives for meeting the housing needs of our corporation's jurisdiction. The annual plan includes strategies such as expanding the supply of assisted housing, promoting family self-sufficiency, and ensuring equal opportunity in housing. This is a five-year plan that was established in 2020. RI Housing's Government Relations and Policy staff has reviewed our update to the annual plan for this year to ensure consistency with our state consolidated plan. In accordance with our requirements, this annual plan has already been circulated to our resident advisory board for review. And in addition, we did have a 45-day public comment period culminating on May 6th. There was no public comment. So I'll go ahead and provide the update for this year's progress. We basically have a few items here. We hired a full-time centralized waitlist specialist that conducted trainings on how to help people navigate our centralized waitlist process to be able to log on to our portal and apply for the Housing Choice waitlist programs for 18 PHAs in our jurisdiction and other jurisdictions that are not affiliated with Rhode Island Housing. We also hired a housing navigator that conducted door-to-door outreach in order to promote a 2024 landlord event that will be happening this September. We held a focus group for our tenants and landlords to be able to provide feedback on, to provide a course for a smart tenant workshop to educate tenants on how to become an optimal tenant for future landlords. This was organized by Highland Planning Consulting Group. We also added 25 VASH Veterans Affairs Supportive Housing Vouchers and 28 Family Unification Program Vouchers to our portfolio. We awarded 13 project-based vouchers at our PBV location in Rockville to be able to prioritize families that are homeless and that need supportive services. And lastly, on our annual HUD Section 8 Management Assessment Program, we achieved the highest award, which was High Performer. Those were our updates for this year for a consolidated plan out of the five-year plan.
Questions? Can I just ask, what's the process that we go through to arrive at the changes and features?
We have
internal. Before the public comment, I thought there were no comments. What are your procedures?
We analyze the updates that we've already put in place over the 5 years and look at the beginning of each fiscal year, we look at what other initiatives that we can implement in order to further those original objectives. And then this update is basically a review of all of the changes that we have implemented thus far. So this is a look back from the past rather than look towards the future of what we're going to be doing.
Gotcha. Thank you for that.
Sure.
Kelly Kenny LaValle, Commissioners, all those in favor of recommending approval of the Public Housing Authority PHA Annual Plan, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say nay. For the record, the motion is approved by a unanimous vote.
Okay, on to the Administrative Plan. Item 3, recommendation for approval of amendments to the Rhode Island Housing Administrative Plan. Back to you, Katie.
Again, Katie Michaud, Rhode Island Housing and Mortgage Finance Corporation offers several federal housing programs, one of which is the Section 8 Housing Choice Voucher Program. This program offers rental subsidies to help income-qualifying families, senior citizens, and disabled individuals to afford safe, healthy homes of their choosing. We serve as the Public Housing Authority, or PHA, in Rhode Island communities that do not have a standalone municipal housing authority. We are governed by an administrative plan provided by federal regulation under the Department of Housing and Urban Development. This year, we are proposing an update to our administrative plan to comply with the provisions both under HUD's Housing Opportunities Through Modernization Act, under HOTMA, and the National Standards for the Physical Inspection of Real Estate, also known as NSPIRE, also required by HUD. These proposed changes, I'll go over in a moment, these were also proposed under a 45-day public comment period, which was advertised and culminated in a public hearing on May 6th, and there were no comments. So I'll go over the specific changes. I'll go over the substantive changes related to HOTMA and NSPIRE and then other ancillary changes that we made. So Chapter 1, we updated the jurisdiction. Our PHA programs, including those new vouchers that were added to our portfolio, the Foster Youth Initiative, Family Unification Program, and the Veterans Affairs Supportive Housing. And we made changes to the number of referrals that we will accept through our Move Up program and we changed references to our inspection standards under NSPIRE. Chapter 3, we updated the definitions of families, foster care, but primarily under the HOTMA rules, we updated eligibility rules related to assets. We updated policies to information releases and policies regarding the denial of admission for criminal activity. Chapter 6, other extensive changes included the treatment of retirement accounts and student financial assistance, which highlighted the phasing out of our earned income disallowance under HOTMA. We also updated the language regarding an increase in the deduction for a household member who is disabled under the HOTMA rule, and deductions for medical expenses, and the language regarding the treatment of ownership and real property, all of those related to HOTMA. Chapter 11, changes to our annual reexamination procedures and non-interim reexamination transactions were changed in accordance to HOTMA, where individuals are now required to report changes in between their annual recertifications if there's a 10% increase in their adjusted income under HOTMA. And then the other change was Chapter 7, asset verification is now no longer required for verification if it meets if it's under 50,000 assets. And we changed language under NSPIRE in Chapter 8 from the former housing quality standards to the updated national standards for physical inspection of real estate. Other chapters were minor changes that were not required, just updates not related to HOTMA or NSPIRE, included Chapter 2, updating handling of discrimination complaints, Chapter 5, provision for remote briefings that we've been conducting when needed, Chapter 12, updating the policies regarding our use of criminal records after admission and effect of foreclosure on tenancy status. Chapter 14, the establishment of thresholds of de minimis errors. Chapter 16, regarding updates to our small area fair market rents that we've adopted under a waiver, our reasonable accommodation procedures, the remote conducting of our informal reviews and informal hearings, and our repayments of debts to the PHA. We also added updated language to our VAWA protections that now includes human trafficking. And in Chapter 7, we updated our provisions regarding how we select from our project-based voucher units. And lastly, Chapter 18, we added new chapters, including our updates to the voucher portfolio on the Veterans Affairs Supportive Housing Vouchers and the Foster Youth Initiative. And lastly, we made some edits to our glossary. Open for questions.
Hearing none, is there a motion?
So move, Robert Freo.
And the second?
Seconded, Carol Wilson.
The second opportunity here, any questions or comments? Hearing none, Kelly.
Thank you. This is Kelly Kenyon-LaValle. Commissioners, all those in favor of recommending approval of amendments to the RI Housing Administrative Plan, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say nay. For the record, the motion is approved. Unanimous vote.
All right. On to item 4, which is awards. I'm going to ask Elizabeth Bioto to present.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Elizabeth Bioto. This request for action is for approval of grant funding under the Community Development Program. In March 2024, we issued an RFP to award funding under the program to support a health and housing pilot program. The idea is to support partnerships between Rhode Island housing finance developments and healthcare organizations to either co-locate or care coordinate healthcare services to support residents in those developments with healthcare needs. The goal of the program is to allow residents to receive healthcare service and support or care coordination on site to help them stay healthy and housed. We received 6 proposals in response to the RFP. 3 were determined to be ineligible. So an internal review committee looked at the three eligible proposals in accordance with the RFP and our criteria, and we're recommending funding today for Housing Opportunities Corporation in a partnership they have with Wood River to support care coordination at Shannock Falls Development, which is in Richmond. The amount would be $169,500 spread over a three-year term. The three-year term is to allow us to monitor the pilot, do a longer-term assessment of program outcomes, and assure sustainability at the project. Generally, the funding will be used to support a community health worker from Wood River Health to be on-site at Shannock Falls, and also to support Shannock Falls residents with accessing services on-site at Wood River as needed with transportation. The pilot's projecting to serve 33 households on the site, which is 75% of the development. I do have one correction to the RFA that you're reviewing. The balance of the funding remaining in the FY24 CDP after making this award to Housing Opportunities would return to the general fund, so I'll be sure to revise the RFA to clarify that before the board meeting. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Our motion.
So moved, Robert Craven.
And a second.
Second, South as well.
Another shot at questions or discussion.
I have one question. Mm-hmm. For the employee that is, or the person that's going to do the healthcare work, is that somebody that's actually a medical worker, or is that somebody that is more administrative that would refer people to?
Medically trained at Wood River Health, yes.
Mm-hmm. Great. Anything else for now? Other questions, Kelly? Go ahead.
Thank you. This is Kelly Kenyon-LaValle. Commissioners, all those in favor of recommending approval of FY 2024 Community Development Program Funding Awards, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, please say nay. For the record, the motion is approved by unanimous vote.
Item 5, for conditions for approval, engagement of compensation consulting firm, CBiz Compensation Consulting. Whitley, would you please offer the presentation?
Yes, Whitley Burke. From time to time, Rhode Island Housing engages an experienced consulting firm to prepare an annual comprehensive classification and compensation study. A compensation study was last completed in 2021. Since that time, there have been significant changes in the local employment market, giving rise to the need for a new study and related services. In February of 2024, we posted our request for proposals. Six firms submitted proposals in response to the RFP. An internal Rhode Island Housing Selection Committee reviewed and scored the submissions in accordance with the selection criteria outlined in the RFP. Based on the selection committee's evaluation of all proposals, CBiz Compensation Consulting scored 3.51 out of 5 as the best qualified to provide Rhode Island Housing's comprehensive classification and compensation study. The engagement is expected to cost $65,000 for 2 years. CBiz Compensation Consulting, established in 1987, is dedicated to delivering innovative and customized compensation consulting solutions. Any questions?
Questions? Could you possibly remind us, I know that in statute, quasi-governmental agencies are required to do comp studies. I assume we looked carefully at the statute. We made sure that the solicitation to these applicants has been what is required.
Yes, and this company has worked with HFAs in the past.
Gotcha. Have they done ours before?
No.
Okay. Who did do ours previously? Do you know?
MGT.
And how did they do?
They did okay.
Okay. Were we deliberately opening up the universe to see if we could take a new look?
Yes, they resubmitted their proposal to MGT, but due to experience working with them, we decided CBiz was the best, and they've been doing it for a really long time, and they have the best references.
Yes. And they scored lower than CBiz.
They did.
Yeah.
They did. They were the second highest.
Yes.
Thank you for that.
Of course.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Other questions?
What is the implementation schedule for this? So it looks like it's a two-year evaluation contract?
It's in a two-year agreement, but it takes about 3 to 4 months to complete.
Okay. So what happens in month five?
So it's a two-year agreement. So the first year, they're just going to give us the study and the classifications, and then the next year, they're going to reevaluate the market and see if we need to make any adjustments. So that's why it's a two-year engagement versus 1 year.
Okay, but it takes 3 to 4 months to complete?
Yes, the timeline will be 3 to 4 months to complete. We have to hand in a lot of paperwork to them, and then they have to check the market and do their part, and then they'll communicate it with the leadership team.
Okay, and then what's the process for evaluating the inspection and any recommendations based on the study?
They will give us, well, they're going to make us probably change our pay scales, and we might have to make some increases, salary increases, but I will talk to Kara and Carol about that if there's recommendations. We don't have to go with their recommendations, but it's good to have their input and what the market is doing as well from a pay equity standpoint.
Okay. In the past, typically what's been the result in terms of an increase in pay scales from a comp study?
Some will say the same, probably 3%.
3%?
As a company. I wasn't here for the 2021, I'm sorry.
We can get you the stats.
Okay.
Yeah.
Happy to do that.
The benchmark, yes.
Yeah.
Not everybody is outside of the realm of the, we expect our lower grade staff to be lower than market, and that would be the focus of the study.
Okay. And I know we're jumping ahead to the last agenda item, but I think there's also a budget proposal to make sure there's some flexibility and salary in the upcoming fiscal year.
Mm-hmm.
So this would be an additional on top of this year's budget?
I don't know if it would be an addition or whether or not we can achieve it within the scope of what we're proposing for a merit increase. Kara, any thoughts on that?
Karen, so, no, that's perfectly fine. In the past, we were able to absorb it as part of our current budget because it wasn't a large dollar amount the last time. I don't know the percentage, but it was within a couple of $100,000. Exactly, and so we were able to absorb it based on turnover, positions, takes a while to hire for certain positions, and so that savings is actually in the budget, and we would anticipate it to be a similar situation this year.
Okay. So it's sort of like a chicken and egg problem also a little bit?
Well, I would say definitely in the hiring, and Willie certainly could speak to this, that the struggles that we have been having with hiring, the main concern is the salary and also with retention. And so we're hoping that this will help to alleviate, obviously not all of it, but, you know, a portion of that.
Sure. I just mean if we're going to budget for an increase in this upcoming fiscal year, and then in 2 years we either do or don't take some recommendations, it feels like we sort of have a tiered structure or raises.
Does
that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm just looking at whether or not we're being cognizant of any overlap there.
Yeah, so the first year is almost the complete, you know, all of our staff, and the second year is more of an update. So I wouldn't expect to have two huge increases, you know, back to back. The first year, with this current year, would show the increase, and then next year it's more of the study, the market, to see where we there.
And if it was something extraordinary, we would come back to the board.
Sure.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Put out
yeah.
to the board.
Thinking about the process, mm-hmm. how it all maps out. Okay.
Yeah, I plan to work with Kara on it as well.
Great. Approved. Great. Thank you.
Any other questions? All right. Thanks for all those explanations. And we are now ready for a vote. So, did I take a motion? Good. So is there a motion?
So moved. Kayla, okay.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Any further discussion or questions? All right, Kelly.
Thank you. This is Kelly Kenyon-Lavalley. Commissioners, all those in favor of recommending approval of engagement of compensation consulting firm CBiz Compensation Consulting, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say nay. For the record, the motion is approved by unanimous vote.
Item 6, recommendation for approval of engagement of COC Performance Monitoring Consultant, Technical Assistance Collaborative, TAC. Elizabeth Bioto, back to you for this one.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Elizabeth Bioto. This request for action is for approval to engage with Technical Assistance Collaborative, TAC, to monitor the performance of the Continuum of Care grantees. The board remembers that Rhode Island Housing continues to act as the collaborative applicant for the Continuum of Care, and one of the requirements for collaborative applicant agencies is to monitor its recipient agencies at least annually. Monitoring exercise, we're looking mostly for compliance with the regulations. We also look at administrative requirements and program performance and how that aligns with best practices nationally and within Rhode Island. So we begin that process with a risk assessment of all grantees that informs which projects are selected for a full monitoring, which a remote monitoring or desk audit, we often call it. Then the monitoring visits are conducted. The reports are issued to each agency. We also get the report for each agency at Rhode Island Housing and also a summary report of the recommendations. And then we conduct technical assistance and training for the grantees on topics and themes that we see and, of course, address any red flags that might come up in monitoring. Due to the large amount of administrative work involved and the technical expertise, we have consistently engaged outside contracting and specifically TAC to support Rhode Island Housing in this effort for at least the last 8 years that I've been here, a few years before that. So in January 2024, we issued an RFP. It was posted in all the usual places, and we received one proposal in response from one qualified firm, TAC. A committee of executive division staff reviewed the proposal in accordance with the criteria in the RFP. The pricing similar to contracts we've had with them in the past and similar other engagements in the field. So the committee is recommending approval of TAC for an amount not to exceed $8,000. We expect to commence the work in September 2024 and that we will have completed the monitoring elements of the project by the end of the calendar year. And then in the first quarter of 2025, we'll focus on the training and technical assistance parts of the RFP. And I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Second,
I have been moved and seconded. Second chance for a question or two. Hearing none, however, Kelly, please go ahead.
Thank you. This is Kelly Kenyon LaValle. Commissioners, all those in favor of recommending approval of engagement of Continuum of Care Performance Monitoring Consultant Technical Assistance Collaborative, Inc., TAC, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say nay. For the record, the motion is approved by unanimous vote.
All right. Item 7, recommendation for approval of pre-qualification of lien properties.
This request for action is to authorize RI Housing to establish a roster of consultants able to provide the lien property improvement consultation across divisions as needed. In April of 2022, we released an RFP, posted it on our website as well as the state website. We received 7 proposals. Selection committee comprised of staff reviewed them and in accordance with criteria set forth in the RFP, determined that there were 4 firms that we wanted to recommend to the board to approve. They're listed in the RFA. The selected firms would appear on the Rhode Island Housing roster of pre-qualified lien process improvement consultants for a period of 3 years. We've used lien folks in the past to improve a number of our processes within the agency, and would like to do so again in the future. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Questions?
So it's a list of folks that we determine are qualified say one division has a scope of work, something that they want to review, they would go out, send that scope to the consultants on that and evaluate those proposals that come back, can be done a lot quicker. And they're already determined to be qualified. So finance wants to do the lean process and development, they would need sometimes different qualifications. So it's a variety of consultants that have different expertise that offer the same sort of service.
How is it different from the state's master price agreement construct?
So it's very, very similar. The pricing thresholds and the periods of time, like you, I don't know exactly what it is now, but it used to be you had to get no bids below a certain amount, three bids. So it's very similar to that in that way. RMPA.
Okay. I've never heard of a roster before. But you need to qualify?
I don't know, but I need to qualify.
I think we've done it before in the past. The legal services here have been done on a roster for a long time. Having worked in state government, we do I asked to do the same thing with our communications professionals because we need a bunch of different things. Not everybody's got the same expertise. So it's just called a roster versus your MTA.
Interesting.
Could you possibly illustrate, Christine, in the lean process improvement process, what are some examples of some areas where you might imagine there would be a close look?
Yeah, so a lot of our processes have a lot of steps dictated by different bodies, so federal regulation, state, agency, things layered on top of them. In the past, we've done it with the LEAD program, have them go step by step by step to see, you know, you run anything for 20 years, stuff lingers there, and someone will say, well, why do we do this? And everybody will look around, and maybe we don't exactly know anymore. And so it's really one of those, I think the LEAD program is a really good example of where we benefited from it.
We intend to look at the development application process.
Nice. Great. Glad to hear it. All right. Very good. Any more questions? Is there a motion?
So moved. Robert Craver.
And a second.
Second.
Questions? Kelly, we're ready.
Thank you. This is Kelly Kenyon LaValle. Commissioners, all those in favor of recommending approval of pre-qualification of lean process improvement firms, please say aye.
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 Any recusals? All right. Just noting that designee Westheim is a recusal, and with three affirmative votes, the motion is passed.
Action item 8, recommendation for approval of remittance to employee handbook. And for this item, I'm going to ask Whitley to present once again.
Whitley Work. We seek approval of revisions to the Rhode Island Housing Employee Handbook in accordance with staff recommendations. In May of 2024, Human Resources, Executive, and Legal staff reviewed Rhode Island Housing's Employee Handbook for consistency within the document, developments within the agency, legal updates, and to promote clarity. The last comprehensive review of the employee handbook took place in 2022. As a result of this year's review effort, several areas in the employee handbook were identified for updates. Two new policies were added, consent to photography, videography, auto recording, and merit increase policy and guidelines. Notable changes were made to several existing policies, including employment categories, introductory period, family and medical leave, flex time programs, termination and severance, business expenses, attendance and punctuality, and progressive discipline. Supplement sick leave was removed since it is no longer offered. The handbook has also been revised to incorporate gender neutral language throughout. Questions?
Questions?
I think there are a lot of good changes in here.
Yeah.
I was poking through it as I was trying to sit here. It looks like you guys are removing the max for education reimbursement.
Yes, because it's subject to change per year, so we decided to remove it.
Okay. Can you just talk a little bit about the changes in the sick leave bank that I think previously converted from excess vacation and could add on, but it looks like you guys are removing.
Sure, this is Kara. I can speak to that. So what we had called the supplemental sick leave, if people had excess vacation time, they could carry over 3 weeks worth of vacation time. Above that, we would put it into what we call this bank, this supplemental sick bank.
Yeah.
It could not be paid out, and it could only be used if they had used all of their other sick time and their other vacation time.
Yeah.
We found it was not really being used very often at all, and that it wasn't the benefit was not promoting what we wanted, which was for people to take their vacation time. If they've earned it, take it, and so we eliminated that. There are some upcoming changes in announcements which would require us to record it differently, and so we felt this was the right time to make the change.
All right.
Can we possibly summarize the changes made to the business expenses section?
Yeah, do you want to speak to that?
If I can remember what they were.
I think it was just more so for clarity purposes, but
I think 610, Kara. I think it's 610.
Yeah, so we limited reimbursement for non-preferred hotels. That was what we did for business expenses. It wasn't anything more.
Is there a preferred list, therefore, hotels?
Yeah.
The conferences that our staff go to generally have a
preferred
hotel.
Kind of a rate associated with it.
Exactly, a governmental rate, and yeah, that's what we would like them to be.
So it wasn't listed as an area of change or addition. Do you have a gifts policy?
Yeah.
What was the last time we took a look at it?
2022.
Okay. Maybe as a sidebar, I have absolutely nothing that I'm concerned about, I haven't heard anything about it, but just would like to look at it because it comes up periodically in any organization where there are meritorious transactions that are occurring. So can we just take a look?
Absolutely.
Great. At Carol's guidance, however you see fit, Carol. One other question. I know a section was added on merit increase policy. Is that a single section, merit increase policy and guidelines?
Yes.
Could you just express it in the broadest way? What is it?
It's really just to ensure clarity and awareness around the policy. We also put that it may not be funded yearly as well. It's more so for leaders to understand how they're supposed to deliver the merit increases for performance-based reasons, and also to provide clarity for employees to understand where they stand and what they would potentially receive depending on their performance. We want it to be more performance-based.
Gotcha. Thank you for all that. Any other questions? Colleagues?
I will say the moving benefits up to start date is a really great change in line with recruitment and retention.
Pardon me? I'm sorry.
Moving benefits up to start date is a really great recruitment move.
Anything else, anybody? Hearing none, is there a motion? And is there a second?
Second, Robert Craven.
Appreciate that. Any further questions? If not, Kelly.
Thank you. This is Kelly Kenyon-Lavalley. Commissioners, all those in favor of recommending approval of revisions to the employee handbook, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say nay. For the record, the motion is approved by unanimous vote.
I have no actual concern. Somewhere we're working on a gifts sidebar meeting. Carol, that could be a quick one added to an agenda somewhere else, whatever you'd like. Doesn't have to be a meeting.
Yeah, John, we'll take care of it.
Appreciate it. All right. We are on all the way to 9 and the budget. So we are on the final item and the immediate one. This is Action Item 9, Recommendation for Approval of Fiscal Year 25 Operating Budget. And, of course, we are at
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for those of you who set aside a little bit of time to meet with us in advance of this meeting. We are pleased to present the proposed 25 budget approval. I'm happy to report that we are wrapping up 2024 with a strong bottom line, currently forecasting net revenue of $16 million. For the upcoming fiscal year, we anticipate continued administration of fiscal recovery programs on behalf of the state, which is generating administrative fees for the agency. As a result of this important funding, we're able to fund many more multifamily deals. You've all been terrific about our long and lengthy credit meetings and board meetings associated with the multifamily transactions that we're bringing forth, so we appreciate that. We do expect a slight decrease in our homeownership lending that has something to do with interest rates, also the loss of the $17,500 down payment assistance program. We blew through that money, which is wonderful for people in Rhode Island who have been able to buy their first home, but we ran out of that money, and so we're estimating single-family production at around $590 million, 75% will bring to the bond market. Our proposed 25 budget anticipates net revenue of almost $11 million. We expect a $3 million increase in our net interest income and an increase in fee income due to higher fees associated with our PBCA administration and loan servicing fees. We're level funding a $2 million loan loss reserve primarily to offset uninsured portions of multifamily loans. We've increased our investment in programs for this year based upon availability of funding with our strong bottom line. As we've mentioned in previous meetings, we do intend to invest in some significant capital improvements, including a roof replacement on a portion of the property. And we are moving to electric, so converting gas into electric. We're thankful for our partners at OER. We expect that they'll be providing some funding for that. We are proposing a merit increase for staff and intend to conduct a compensation study. Other increases within the budget relate to technology improvements and other expenses like insurance. Everybody's dealing with insurance now. And, so I'll turn it over to Karen now to talk to you and the balance.
Thank you. Just going briefly through the presentation, looking at page 3, that is our program budget. So that is the programs that Rhode Island Housing funds directly, as opposed to pass-through programs that we receive from the federal or state government. As Carol mentioned, we were able to increase our program spending based on our strong net income, our strong bottom line. We increased the program called ELI Operating Support Program, which is in that first section of the program budget. We added this program because we thought that's where we saw a strong need in terms of these tenants, the extremely low-income tenants, and having operating support for the sponsors and developments who house those tenants. We continue to fund LISC under our Support for Community Development Activities. Our local LISC office is very active and a great partner with us. We also will continue to fund our Healthy Housing, Healthy Communities Initiative, which we spoke about today, in community and housing development programs, partnering with some of the heads, the health equity zones. This was also related to a grant that we received from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and really building upon the work that we had started there. In our homeownership area, we will continue to fund a reserve, what we call our homeownership reserve program, which assists our first-time home buyers when they are, if they have an event such as a boiler that breaks or some event that would cause them to maybe not make their mortgage payment, We require them to go through some extensive home buyer education, and if they do that, we allow them to use this reserve to cover any incidents that might come up rather than not making their mortgage payment. We provide down payment assistance to certain customers, and these are customers who are not a part of our mortgage revenue bond. We also have down payment assistance for customers who are within the mortgage revenue bond. And then finally, our multifamily program is the ZEO, so the Zero Energy for the Ocean State, and that is partnering with OER, and we've been very successful working with them and promoting energy efficiency, and I believe the number was 418 units that we've been able to put some energy efficiency into, so that was great. The next page is the descriptions of each program, so, if you want to take a look back, so it'll help you to understand which program is which. And then page 5 is our summary of revenue and expenses, and it really categorizes the main categories of our revenue, where we are earning money. Net interest income is that first line, and that is the spread that we earn between the interest rate that we're allowed to charge the borrower and our borrowing costs in the bond market. So we are restricted by IRS regulations in terms of what we can charge that customer. But we were ahead of budget, ahead of this current fiscal 24 budget, which we are very happy about. We think we might have a small downtick for 25. That's really related to the potential decreases, in the federal funds rate. As the rate goes down, we anticipate that there will be some refinance out of our portfolio. So that will impact our net interest income. Our fee income is the fee that we earn to run some of these federal programs, like the contract administration program, some of the ARPA funds, ARPA programs that we're running, as well as fees related to closing loans, loan closing, servicing fee income for servicing loans. Then we also sell our loans directly. And that would be the gain on sale of loans. We're selling more to Fannie and Freddie, and so we've seen an increase there. On the expense side, as Carol mentioned, our loan loss, we anticipate providing another $2 million towards our loan loss reserve. We have not seen high levels of losses, which has been great, but we need to make sure that our reserve is adequate for the future. We already discussed our program expenses, and then our operating expenses reflect a 3% increase. It's actually 2.55, which is mostly related to the office maintenance that we talked about in terms of there's painting and carpeting that we're planning to do. There's amortization related to the capital projects, a large HVAC project, and roofing repairs. Then merit increases for staff, and then increases in technology costs and insurance costs. Those are the biggest increases that we're seeing in our operating budget. We've provided some graphs as well, so you can see the comparison by division. Each division is pretty unique in terms of the work that they're doing and how they contribute to the budget. So page 6 shows you the revenue and expense by division. Pages 7 and 8 show you a historical look at the revenue and a historical look at the expenses, so you can see how we're trending in either direction. And then we've added page 9 and 10, which is a lot of detail, but we thought it would be beneficial for you just to see how that all rolls up to our budget, that, we look at every line item and to ensure we're comfortable with how things are increasing or decreasing over the year. And this totals up to the operating line that is on that summary page of the 3% increase. So I'll stop here. It's a lot of information, but happy to answer any questions.
sorry.
No, go
for it. On the loan loss.
No, so it does fluctuate. We analyze it every year with our auditors and our rating agencies. That's when we also look at that. If they feel that we have too many uninsured loans or we have a high risk with higher delinquency, then they'll want us to increase reserves. So that is our net income. So from a state perspective, it's kind of like the excess you may have, the rainy day fund.
I see. Okay. And then how does, so are we saying this is what we want approval of today in addition to some of these other pieces?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, so does this approval flow? I'm sorry.
To the board.
To the board.
Yes,
yeah.
It does.
Including the 7.2 million?
Yes.
Okay. Can you talk me through how we do the ongoing program evaluation of the programs listed in the housing FY25 program budget?
Sure. So depending on what the program is, if we are working with sponsors or developers, community developers, they would provide us updates on how their program is running. For instance, if they applied for a grant and they were going to use it for resident services, they would have to give us an update. I believe we get it quarterly to show us how they're spending that money, what is the impact, are they serving an after, they may be serving an after-school program, so how many kids were served in that program. We also look at, for some of the rental assistance programs, we look at the number of units we're able to assist, the people in those units. Depending on the program, we may want them to move on to a different type of subsidy or not need subsidy, so we may be looking for that number to come down year over year if we're able to find a permanent source for them for housing as opposed to a rental subsidy.
Sure. Okay. How have they been doing?
I think, you know, each one is a little bit different, but we will continue to fund the ones that we feel are effective. So if something is not working, because these are our own programs, for the most part, we're able to make the changes to make them more effective, or in some cases, we may try and phase out a program if it's not exactly what we anticipated.
For example, state rental assistance. That was the program created by the state.
Yep.
Sent over to Rhode Island Housing to fund people living in these units were not necessarily services.
Okay.
The program wasn't designed to do that. It was really just an underlying subsidy to go to the development. As a result of that, we initiated the Road Home Rental Assistance Program, which was a bit more effective than the state rental assistance program. At the same time, we absorbed the Neighborhood Opportunities Program that the state funded for a couple of years and then sent over to us. So we do analyze what the outcomes are, whether or not people are able to move on from subsidized units to then free up that unit for someone else. We try to move people on to mainstream resources like the new specialty vouchers that have come through the door or our own Housing Choice Voucher program.
Okay. So it looks like the new lease program is falling off.
Yes. Yes.
Undersubscribed.
Yes.
Just not what we expected from the program. We had one participant in the program, one owner that was participating, and it just wasn't accomplishing what we had hoped it would accomplish.
Okay. And it just looks like the other sort of big change is the ELI offering or program.
Mm-hmm. Yes. This is a new program that Elizabeth has been working on along with the folks with Katie and the folks in our leased housing office.
Okay. It's not yet operational. It would start in 25.
Pardon me?
It's not yet operational.
Do we have units already?
Not yet.
It'll
start in 25.
It'll start in 25. It's approved by the board.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The package.
That's right.
Okay. And who is it intended to serve?
Families and individuals experiencing homelessness.
Okay.
and extremely low income.
Other questions? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved. Robert Craven.
For a second. Another shot at questions. Budget, so I will pause and enable questions. Hearing none, how are you?
Thank you. This is Kelly Kenyon-Lavallee. Commissioners, all those in favor of recommending approval of fiscal year 2025 operating budget, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say nay. For the record, the motion is approved by unanimous vote.
All right. The business that we should attend to now. We are prepared to indicate a motion that we adjourn.
So moved.
Is there a second? Any comments on that motion? Hearing none. Kelly.
This is Kelly Kenyon-Lavallee. Commissioners, all those in favor of adjourning, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say nay. For the record, motion is approved by unanimous vote.
Thank you.